Hello, and thank you so much for listening today to the show. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and my name is Peter Alton, your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello, and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. I hope you had a fantastic week. If you are one of our regular listeners, then thank you so much for giving up your time to listen to us here. And I hope you are finding some great value from what we talk about on here. If you're new to us, then where have you been? Welcome anyway. We're glad to have you listening to us now. But we've been on the air now for over 3.5 years. So we have got a back catalogue of about 180 shows, which you have the privilege of being able to access because they're all there on demand on UK Health Radio's website. And there's a quick link I can give you right now to be able to get to those. It's at www.bit.ly/diabetesofradio. And that will take you straight to my page and you'll see the last six, most recent six shows, and you can scroll down and go through them six at a time, all the way back through those 180. It might take you a bit of a time, but you can do that if you so wish. If you want to find out if we've done a particular topic, then by all means do email us and we'll have a look through the back catalogue ourselves and send you a link to the specific show, which might save you a little bit of time. The email to send it to would be contact@undefeated.org. And you regulars, of course, will know that Undefeated is spelt with all E's. Those of you who are new may not realize that. Undefeated spelt with all E's. So contact us at undefeated.org. It's the name of my non-for-profit organization helping people with diabetes prevent amputation. That is largely what I'm all about. But the Diabetes Show is about anything to do with diabetes, to try and help you as a person with diabetes to live in the safest possible place. You'll hear me in some of the other shows talk about the diabetes sweet spot. And that is the place where you know what the condition is all about, where you know your personal risk of problems and where you are acting upon them. And that is the safest possible place that you can live with it. I specifically point people to be in the diabetic sweet spot regarding their feet as well through Undefeated. So I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Drop us an email and we will get back to you with any answers that you need, anything you require. And we will try to source people to talk about the topics that you want to have on your show. We would love to have you on the show as well. If you've got a story, maybe it's a story to do with conquering diabetes, type 2 diabetes that you've conquered, type 1 diabetes that you've lived with and you've achieved some amazing things. Maybe it's something to do with a problem that you've had, a complication that has actually devastated your life, changed your life, changed a loved one's life. I believe in really just getting all the info out for people. Sometimes we need to do shows that are encouraging people and lifting people up and the great success stories. Sometimes, though, I think we need to balance it with the horrific things that can happen to people with diabetes, because some of you maybe will only be motivated to change by hearing the horror stories. Others of you will be motivated to change by hearing the great success stories. And hopefully we'll have a lot more success stories in the future than we will the horror ones. But the reason that we set up the Undefeated Non-For-Profit is because so many people do undergo diabetic foot complications, ulcerations, and ultimately amputations to the tune of every 20 seconds, somebody in the world is having a diabetes-related lower limb amputation of some sort. And the number of ulcers is just huge in comparison to that. One every 20 seconds, that equates to 1.6 million amputations per year because of diabetes. And the really shocking statistic, actually, if that's not shocking enough, the really shocking statistic is that 85% of those are thought to be avoidable. Some of that
by great medical intervention, surgical intervention, but the majority of them by you understanding before you get into the position of needing it, understanding what the risks are, understanding what you can do about it, knowing what can happen, knowing what to do, and then, of course, acting appropriately and in a timely manner. That's pretty critical as well, making sure that you do the right action and at the right time. So most of my shows, I end up getting distracted a little bit into the diabetic foot department, but I try, wherever possible, not to bang on about it too much, because it could just become the diabetic foot show instead of the diabetes show. Today, however, I will be mentioning it a little bit. Okay, I am going to be talking a little bit about diabetic foot problems, and one of the simple ways that you can help minimize the risk to your feet. A lot of foot problems come about because of injuries, wounds that occur on the foot. Okay, so there's a lot of diabetic amputations that take place, which are totally avoidable, and they come simply because a person is wearing inappropriate footwear. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, which I think will be helpful with regards to buying shoes and making sure you wear the correct ones. I have actually been doing this on my other show, so I don't know if you're aware of it, but I did the diabetes show. More recently, we started the foot health show as well. Being a podiatrist, that is my passion, but my main passion is helping the foot health issues with diabetes, but as well as ordinary ones. So that show, actually, we've been looking at these things on there, and you might well do well to go and listen to that and just multiply all the things that I say in importance by about fivefold if you have diabetes. You'll hear me in those shows constantly referring to, and if you've got diabetes, it's all the more important, because it is. And what prompted me to do this show, to run this show this week, is actually just a recent experience when I was out working in the garden. And yeah, I keep an old pair of my old running shoes, actually, which are pretty substantially made ones, good ones. And when they're worn out from the running, I tend to wear them for, you know, light duties in the garden. And sometimes you can get carried away, can't you? You can start off with a light duty. Well, certainly in my garden anyway, there's lots of light duty work. There's lots of heavy duty work as well, because I think I've shared, well, I know I've shared here before that I'm building my model railway around the garden, and I'm doing quite a lot of concrete work and in order to do that. And so I'll start off maybe just doing a few bits of weeding somewhere, and those shoes are quite appropriate for that. But then I may just sort of get sidetracked and think, oh, I'll just break up some more bricks to make some hardcore, or I'll start chopping some blocks in half, or whatever it might be. And I end up doing a different chore where really I should be wearing some steel toe caps or something like that, you know, moving big rocks around. And yeah, thankfully nothing happened to me, but it did just made me aware that I was carrying on doing my duties without actually having the appropriate footwear on. And in fact, the trainers I was wearing, they're probably running shoes that I had, if I'm totally honest, probably 10 years ago, something like that. So they've been used in the garden because sometime, and I've gone through many, many running shoes since, by the way. You're not supposed to keep them for too long, depending on how many miles you run. But on average, I guess some people will go through them 6 months, some people a year, suitability-wise. Anyway, these ones had been given up the ghost about 10 years ago, but I still use them around the garden. And I realized that the whole of the bottom tread part in one area of it had totally worn through, and it was just literally onto the foam. So had I trodden on a nail, and there's plenty of rusty old nails out there, had I trodden on a bit of glass, and actually in our garden, I don't know what they were doing here before we moved in, but certainly there's a lot of glass lying around the place, in the soil. If a bit of glass had gone through that part of my shoe, it would have ended up in my shoe. In my foot, I mean, and you don't want that as a person with diabetes. So
sometimes you might start out wearing what could be the appropriate shoes for a job, and then you end up not having the appropriate shoes on because you go on to a different job. And sometimes you just put on a pair of shoes that aren't appropriate because they're worn out, or they're the wrong size, or you know, they're too tight, or whatever it might be. So today's show is going to be all about trying to help you to see the importance of good footwear. And actually, if I think back, I can remember a time where we had a burglary at one of my practices. And I went over there in the dead of the night. It was about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I went over there to fix this thing and to arrange for the door to be boarded up. They'd smashed through the glass in the bottom. And the glass was a laminated glass, plastic in the middle, glass on either side. And they'd smashed through this. And in doing so, it had splintered everywhere. There was loads of little shards of glass everywhere. And I went in there and I cleared up as best I could. Obviously, we had to do a deep clean the following day because bits of glass in a podiatry practice don't go well together if you've got a patient walking around barefoot. So we had a deep clean the following day. But that night when I was cleaning up, I became suddenly aware at the end of the cleaning up session that my shoes had got loads of bits of glass in the bottom of them. They were thankfully very thick soled because I knew I was going to be having to clear up glass. So I did have the appropriate footwear on that occasion. But it just struck me just how many bits of glass had gone into the bottom of these shoes. And you know, when you're walking on the pavement, sometimes you can see, you know, some, especially on recycling day, bits of glass on the pavements where the bin men have dropped some bottles or something. Or maybe you're near a pub and people have been smashing glasses and you're walking past and there's glass on the floor there. It's very easy to not have the appropriate shoes, not have decent soled shoes and a bit of glass to go in. Anyway, these, all these little bits of glass in my shoes reminded me of a song. Anyway, the song we're going to listen to, because those little bits of glass glistening on the soles of my shoes looked like little diamonds glistening, and how I wish they were diamonds. The song is going to be called Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. And it is, of course, by Paul Simon. And I do hope you will enjoy the song.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 Say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I please you. Wearing these diamonds." And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes. makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. The poor boy changes clothes and he puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. And she said, honey, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh. And everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of my shoes, yeah. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of my shoes.
That was Paul Simon and Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. I hope you enjoyed it. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Thank you for listening today. And we've been talking a little bit earlier. We've been looking at the news. We've been talking a little bit about bits of glass in the bottoms of shoes. And what I want to do now is just give a brief overview of some advice about the types of footwear that are suitable and safe for you to get. There are lots of intricacies around this, and probably in the time I've got now, I won't be able to do it justice. So hopefully I'll pick the main points and get those across to you. And I talk about it as being my SAS guide to getting the correct footwear. SAS standing for suitable and safe. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through three different aspects of shoes being suitable and safe. And again, using the SAS letters, it's going to be looking at size, age, and again, suitability. And all three of those factors are important. And as I said earlier, multiply that statement's importance tenfold if you have diabetes, because it is so much more important. To be honest, actually, if we rewound time to before you had diabetes, or for those of you listening who haven't got diabetes, it's important to look after your feet and to take note of what I'm going to be saying anyway. That's why it's on the General Foot Health Show, because it is important. They will cause problems to your feet that are often irreversible and often can lead to deformity, which is one of the big factors causing problems with people with diabetes and their feet. So
Let's carry on. I can waffle on forever about this, but let's get into a little bit of a nitty gritty, shall we? Let's talk about, first of all, the size. The size of a shoe. Well, does it matter? Well, it's probably the one thing that you think of, but yes, it does matter. No one wants to buy a shoe that is way too big or way too small. Although actually, the way too small bit, I have come across quite regularly people that do buy too small shoes just because they think that bigger ones look ugly. And generally speaking, it's for ladies. But what are we talking about with size? Are we talking about the length? Are we talking about the width? Are we talking about the depth? Well, you can probably guess we're talking about all three. All three of those are important to have shoes that are long enough, shoes that are wide enough for your feet, and shoes that are deep enough for your feet. And in the other show, in the Foot Health show, we look into ways that you can actually measure your feet and check your feet to see if they are more likely to fit that shoe well before you actually go about wearing it and making a mess of the sole and can't return it. One thing I want to get across in this small extract of my advice is that you are not a size 4 or 5 or 8 or 7 or 10 or 11. You are not a size X. So don't go into a shoe shop with the mindset of, oh, I'm a size 10, so I've got to have a size 10. Different manufacturers will vary, and even within a manufacturer, sometimes different styles will vary. So you are going to buy a shoe which is the right size for you, yes, but it's normally not a actual number that you can go in there and predict. You can get a rough idea, so you can go in there and say, yeah, normally I'm a size 10, please can I try that first? But be open-minded to realize that you might need in that manufacturer's shoe a size 11 or maybe a size 9.5. Who knows? Until you put your foot in that shoe, you will not be sure. The other thing that I want you to bear in mind is that your feet will change size. And I'm not talking to you in one of my school assemblies that I do sometimes for children regarding foot health. I'm talking to you as adults. So yes, kids' feet will grow, of course. Adults' feet, you might think, oh, they're going to shrink, just like sometimes our height does as we get older. But no, actually, quite often, the feet seem to get bigger as you get older. And there's various things that can go on. You can have an arch that starts to collapse. And if an arch starts to collapse, you can actually do this yourself. You can stand there on the floor and you can force your arch to collapse down as much as it will. And as you do, just see how your toes tend to spread out and elongate the foot. Obviously, a collapsed arch is generally going to be longer than an arch that's intact. With diabetes, the neuropathy that takes place, it can affect the motor nerves, which causes the foot to become a higher arch. So sometimes there can be a difference in the length of the foot in that respect. When we're talking about the width, likewise as well, that can change over time. And the depth, particularly with what I just mentioned there about the nerves making the foot start to claw up, it can cause the toes to become retracted back and hammer toes to come, the knuckles to come up so that actually they get pressure on shoes that they may not have done before. So bear that in mind when you are getting new shoes. Make sure that you get ones that are suitable for you. The next thing we want to have a look at is the age of the shoe. Okay, so the age of a shoe, it can be linked a little bit to the size as well, because as I said, your feet change. So you might have your extra special warm boots that you're going to wear this coming winter, and this summer's coming to an end, and we don't want to think about winter yet. We don't want to go and buy winter shoes. Let's just ease our way into autumn, and then eventually winter will be upon us and you're not prepared. You haven't gone and bought a new pair of shoes, but you've got your old trusty boots that you had last year. So you put your foot into them, not realizing that actually your foot has changed a bit over the year. And actually now that foot may not be quite the same as it was a year ago. It may have some other complications, and the boot may be totally unsuitable for you. So the age of a shoe can be quite important. The shoe as well, over time, will deteriorate. So I talked earlier about bits of glass sticking into the bottom of a shoe. I've seen people come into me quite often, and because at Circle Podiatry, my business, my private practice for podiatry, we get any new patient to come in to bring in a selection of their shoes, if possible, but certainly to bring in with them the pair of shoes that they wear the most, a pair which are worn, show wear marks underneath. And quite often we see that there is a particular area where the most force goes through the foot that is very worn. And sometimes it's quite horrifying. You can literally, just touch it and it gives way because the sole is so, so thin. It would never stop a bit of glass going through it. It would never stop a little tack or a drawing pin going through it. And if you've got neuropathy, you wouldn't feel that. So it is so important to keep an eye, to inspect your shoes, to make sure that they are fit for purpose, particularly going from one season to another and getting some out of the wardrobe maybe that you've had there, you haven't worn for a year. Make sure that they are still fit for purpose. And one of the things that needs to be okay is the sole. Other things that need to be okay, of course, with a shoe like that is, are the uppers okay? Are the uppers still intact? Is there a pressure point where those toes have been pushing up, where maybe the big toe has been pushing through? There's lots of different things which can cause lumps and dents in the uppers of shoes. Bunions, hammer toes, upturned big toes, all of those things which need to be accommodated within the shoe. Sometimes you can have wear on the inside of the heel counter. So it's not just a question of looking at the outside, but look at the inside. And maybe put your hand inside the shoe and just feel where the toes are. You can often feel little dents where there has been some pressure. So again, checking for that is not a bad idea. Most people, when they look at wear on the shoes, they think about looking at the heels, because the heels is probably the bit which gets replaced the most often. If you've got a worn down heel, check also about the forefoot though. The forefoot often gets forgotten, but the forefoot often can have wear on the outer sole, on the outer edge of it, or more on the inner edge of it, or more in the middle. Sometimes there can be circular marks which suggest that the foot is twisting as you walk off. There are so many telltale things that you can tell from a worn shoe. The key thing is to make sure, though, that it isn't too worn. And if the heel is too worn, if the sole is too worn, doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw them away. Get some learnings from how unevenly they're worn. Maybe go and see your podiatrist and take them in and say, look, you're a bit concerned. The left one looks much more worn than the right one does, or the forefoot is really unevenly worn, or look at this, my toe seems to be poking through the top here. Go to your podiatrist. Get them to explain what's going on. Get them to see if there's a way that they can try and get things to work better for you. And if the shoes are worn, as I say, take them along, get them rehealed, get them resoled. Preferably after your podiatrist has seen what the wear marks are like. But get them healed, resold, and then at least you'll be safe from things penetrating through. So that is the age factor regarding safe and suitable footwear. So we've looked at size, we've looked at age, and finally we're going to look at suitability. Now, suitability is a huge topic. Obviously, they need to be a suitable size and they need to be suitable from the point of view of not being too old. We've covered that already. But there are other things as well that we need to be thinking about. Suitability regarding the activity that they're meant for. So you're not going to turn up for your first day of work on a building site wearing a pair of ballet shoes. And likewise, the dancer isn't necessarily going to turn up to dance on the West End stage in a pair of Dr. Martens. The suitability of the shoe can be linked to what you're going to be using it for. And even within sports, within running, a runner might have a pair of shoes for racing, a pair of shoes for sprinting with spikes. Maybe they have a pair of shoes for race day. There can be a whole selection of shoes that they might have. Then they might play a bit of tennis, so they might have a different pair for that. It's not a question of just one pair of trainers suits everything. It can quite often be that you need different amounts of support, different amounts of cushioning, different amounts of flexibility for different activities that you're doing. And likewise, what you wear around the office at work might need a lot less support than what you need to get to work. You often see people wearing trainers going to work with their suits on, ladies and guys, and then when they get to work, they change into their dress shoes for the office. And the dress shoes just wouldn't be suitable for doing a lot of walking up and down the escalators and what have you on the way to work. But likewise, the trainers may not be suitable for the office job for them. So when you're doing a lot of walking, that's the key thing, is really that's when the most force is going through the foot. That's when the most danger is within the foot. So you want to make sure that you're getting something that is suitable for walking. So usually some sort of trainer or walking shoe with a lace and a strap. And the lace and the strap are so important. Lace and the strap hold your foot back in the shoe. They stop the foot from sliding forward in the shoe. They stop the pressures that are likely to be happening on that forefoot. So ideally, if you're going out walking, if you're walking on the way to work, you should be wearing something that has a strap or a lace. And generally, laces are better than straps. But nowadays, with technology, the strapping ones are still pretty good. Then we want to have a look at suitability from the point of view of the heel height, for example. And sometimes with some pathologies that a podiatrist will pick up on with you, sometimes you might be better off with a bit of a heel and not be totally flat. Some people are saying, oh, you know, I've heard that flat shoes are best. Actually, usually you do need a little bit of a heel. And some people actually need to be told to get a bigger heel. Even guys, sometimes we're saying to guys, hey, maybe cowboy boots would be best for you. You know, you need a little bit of a raise in the back there. Sometimes you can adapt the footwear itself, of course. We can do orthotics insoles, which can change. We can give you heel lifts. There's lots of things which can be done to adapt a pair of shoes. Then there's the flexibility of the shoe. When you go and buy a pair of shoes, look at how supportive it is. Try twisting it. Grab hold of the heel, grab hold of the toes, and try twisting it up. I had a lady in the other day, and as soon as I did that, it twisted around the whole way, so that there was a whole twist in the shoe, and the heel sole was pointing at me, and the forefoot sole was pointing at me, and there was literally a total twist in the middle. Obviously, not going to support the foot at all. Okay, maybe for sitting behind a desk, pattering around the office a little bit, but not for doing any walking in. So you want to look and see if it's able to withstand you doing that. And the other thing as well is, where do they bend? If you bend the heel towards the toe, where do they bend? They should bend. If they're for walking, they should bend in the ball of the foot, not in the midfoot. Your foot's not designed to bend in the midfoot, so why should a shoe be designed to bend in the midfoot? And yet there are some that do just that. So when you're looking at a pair of shoes, look to get the correct size, look to get ones which are suitable, and make sure that any that you've got already, that they aren't too old. Perhaps when I talk about age, I should talk about actually the new ones as well, because when you get new shoes, you should wear them in gradually. And that doesn't mean that you've got to break them in. You shouldn't need to break in a pair of shoes, because probably your foot's going to be the thing that gets broken. But you should wear them in gradually, get used to them, allow the foot to shape the leather a little bit. You want to make sure that you're not going to get rubs and blisters instantaneously with somebody with diabetes. The better fit, the more chance you've got of being able to walk in them first day. Okay, so do take that to heart, that actually you should never, particularly with diabetes, get a pair of shoes and put them on and expect them to be on for the whole day. Maybe even an hour the first day, maybe a couple of hours. Maybe even wear them a little bit around the house first of all, just to double check. And I should have said in the size one as well, I told you this is a brief overview because I want you to go to the other shows. Okay, there's a lot more in there. I keep thinking of things that I haven't said on this one that I want to put in, but that is just that a good time to buy shoes is towards the end of the day when your feet are a little bit more swollen. Anyway, please do go and see go and listen to the Foot Health Show. Find out more about what we're talking about there regarding suitable shoes, safe shoes for you going forwards.
And you can find the relevant shows in the on-demand section on UK Health Radio's website. So that's ukhealthradio.com. Or if you're listening on the app, you can go up to the top left-hand corner of the app and press on there, and you'll find out a menu coming down with a link to the website on there. Go onto the website, and then you just look for my show, and for the Foot Health Show, if that's the one you're looking for. Or for that matter, if you want to go back and look at some of the previous diabetes show ones, you could go on that one. But for the purposes of what I'm asking you to do right now is to check out the Foot Health Show shows about the SAS advice, the full SAS advice regarding safe and suitable footwear. So if you go on there, you click on to my show, the Foot Health Show, and you would then have to keep scrolling down. You only get six at a time. So every time you click more, it will increase the number of shows that you're able to see. And you just keep clicking six back and look at the show descriptions. And you'll probably find some other show descriptions on there which are of interest to you anyway. It can take a bit of time, of course, to go back, because I've been doing this now for 3 years for the Foot Health Show and 4 years for the Diabetes Show. So that's quite a lot of shows. It's quite a lot of my life, actually, when I think about it, that I've given up to doing this, because I don't get paid for doing this, by the way. So I hope that you will utilize the resources that we've put together here. Flick back through, go through the previous diabetes shows, go through the previous Foot Health shows, see if there's any topics of interest to you. And if there is something that you want us to talk about in the future, then please do get in touch with us and let us know what you want to hear about. Okay, what's your problem? What do you is a problem with your kids' feet, or maybe your friend's feet, or your spouse's feet? What do you want to hear about regarding diabetes? What do you want to hear about with that? Let us know, and we can try to help you out by getting somebody on the show to talk about it. So I hope that this has been useful, and I do hope that you are able to find the shows you want. If you can't, or if you just, yeah, sometimes when you go on to having to click through and all these different shows and find the right one, it can be a bit awkward. I've got no way really of getting it to you other than if you were to email me. So if you want to email me, I'm more than happy to send you a link directly to the relevant shows. So please do go ahead and do that. You can contact me at contact@undefeated.org, contact@undefeated.org, and I will certainly be able to find the shows that you want to listen to and send you a link to them. So we've been doing talking today all about shoes, safe and suitable footwear for you, and what other purpose do you want those shoes for other than walking? Of course, you might want them for running or playing sport or dancing or whatever it might be. But most of us, however professional we are in our sport, most of us, the main use of our feet in our lives is walking. And I would encourage you to make sure you've got the right shoes for that. We're going to listen to a song now, which is another jolly tune. I've got some upbeat tunes this week, really, haven't I? What with the diamonds on the sole of her shoes earlier. And now we're going to listen to Dire Straits and Walk of Life. Get those feet tapping and enjoy. That, of course, was Dire Straits and Walk of a Life, and I'm pretty sure that some of you could have been heard tapping your feet there to that tune. It's certainly one of those ones that gets the feet going, I think. Anyway, I hope that you've learned stuff today and really that you are going to make some changes in the way you approach footwear in the future. If you've got any questions at all, then please don't hesitate to contact us. You can get in touch via contact@undefeated.org. That's contact@undefeated.org, with undefeated spelt with all E's. And I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you've got, point you in the right direction to other shows, or just take any suggestions from you as to shows that you might want to listen to here, topics you might want to hear, maybe songs you want to hear even, who knows. This show and all my shows, of course, are for you. They're your show. They're not my show. I just happen to be trying to present the things in a way that hopefully is helpful to you. But it would really be valuable to me to know what you want to hear on the show, who you want to hear, topics you want to hear about, songs you want to listen to, whatever it might be. So do get in touch. contact@undefeated.org. Or if it's more of a foot-related query, then you can contact me directly at our podiatry practice, and that would be at contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk. contact@circlepodiatry.co.uk. I look forward to hearing from you. And by the way, if you want to come and see me in clinic, by all means, you can do. Pop that email over to us and we'll let you know where we are at Circle Podiatry and what we can do to help you. It'd be my privilege and my honour to be able to help as many of you as possible prevent complications in the future. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy yourselves. Keep safe and keep using those feet, enjoying what you're able to do with them. Thanks for listening. And that's it for this week, folks. You have been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. All that remains is for me to be able to say to you, have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetic sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.